You're listening to The Leader Spot. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. We're talking with CEOs from across the Washington, D.C. area about how they did it, what worked, what didn't, what they want to teach you, what they wish they knew. It's all here on The Leader Spot. On today's show, the president and CEO of Versar, Dr. Theodore Prosiv. He served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Army. He was responsible for oversight for the entire U.S. Chemical Weapons Destruction Program, nearly a $15 billion life cycle. So we'll be talking to Dr. Prosiv a little bit later on the show about his company, Versar. Our first guest in studio, the founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anirudh Kulkarni. Anirudh, welcome to the Leader Spot.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's nice to be here.
Now, Customer Value Partners is a customer lifecycle management consulting firm specializes in improving customer service operations through better relationship management process and technology. Can you explain that better than me?
Sure. No, that's typical consultant speak. Having been in this consulting business for over 20 years, you wouldn't expect anything different. But in very simple terms, we help our clients do a better job with regards to how they work and serve their customers. So an example might be a telecommunication firm that we work with out on the West Coast that has probably about 3 million wireless subscribers, very high attrition rates when we started to work with them. They recognized the problem. You know, it was expensive to keep acquiring customers. So part of the project that we started to work with them on in partnership with them was really to help them figure out strategies to keep their customers longer, to identify more profitable customers and treat them differently than they might treat their worst customers. So that roadmap really resulted in some big impact for them. So that's what we do. We help our clients be better at what they do.
First of all, I have to say congratulations. You moved into new offices in Fairfax, Virginia.
We did. We did. In fact, it's coming on week three, and the coffee machine's still working, and we're having a lot of fun. It's a little empty. I mean, we really did take a little larger office space than we probably needed at the time, but we've been growing out of our space so quickly each of the last couple of spaces we've been in that we felt that it was probably time to take a little larger bite of the real estate investment.
And you have about 120 employees now, and you're expected to do another possible 15-20% growth?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a tough time, as you know and your listeners know. We're, of course, managing very prudently and being very aware of where our clients are spending their money and where their priorities are. But I think just based on current backlog, my sense is that we will certainly end out the year pretty well and pretty healthy, and I think next year will be another growth year for the firm.
And you're based in Fairfax now, but you also have operations in Atlanta, Baltimore, Boston, and San Diego?
Yeah, our vision when we started the firm about 5 years ago was really that we wanted to be a national firm. We wanted to be a very scalable firm, not for ego reasons, but rather because in order to do the most fun and challenging assignments, a services firm such as us really needs to have a certain scale and a certain size to do the most fun work. So yes, we decided very early on, even though it was going to be a difficult business model, that as we found ways to expand into new metropolitan areas and new cities across the country, that we would. So yes, we are in Atlanta, we're in Boston, we're in Baltimore, we're on the West Coast in San Diego. As a result of some of the work we're doing for the state of Mississippi, we have opened up in Jackson, Mississippi as well. New York's on the plans, and we'll see where it goes.
Now, you said a difficult business model. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, it's the difficulty comes from when you say that you're going to be a full service consultancy. But if you're only two people, you know, clearly it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that this is going to be a difficult challenge. So 5 years ago when we were just two folks and we were bidding on some work at America Online, we had to walk this narrow line, which was basically we're a full range. We have the capability of the larger firms. But, of course, we're only a few folks, so there are only a certain set of assignments that we can really take on. But when we won that work and beating out some very large consulting firms for that assignment, which was a very interesting assignment at the time, coming in behind those wins and really building the kind of workforce and the kind of consulting expertise that allows us to demonstrate that truly we can take on broad capabilities, well, that's difficult. And that's, and it's even more difficult when you say that, hey, we're going to do it not just in Fairfax, Virginia, but we're going to do it around the nation. So that's a difficult business model in the first few years of any small business, especially one that's not been capitalized by outside investors. Our clients are funding us. We've grown this company really one client at a time and one associate at a time. So that those are difficult challenges.
Has that been a particular challenge since you didn't take VC money or, you know, any other means managing cash flow?
Absolutely. I mean, my last firm that I was fortunate to be a part of the founding team for, we had $20 million in venture capital. We took that company public within 13 months and on the way to building a $300 million company. And I don't think we could have done that if we didn't have that kind of outside capital. I decided this time with Customer Value Partners that we were kind of going to do it the old-fashioned way, one client at a time, one employee at a time, which also meant, you know, a lot of credit card debt and a lot of, you know, I remember, and I was, my wife and I were talking about this just recently, at the time to finance the firm, we took out about $100,000 home equity line of credit on our house, and Priya said, you know, you better make this work because I like this house, so... But, you know, it worked out in the end, you know, and cash flow was, you know, difficult in the beginning. But we've always been profitable. Even our first couple of months, it didn't take much for us to be profitable. And we've kept that up ever since.
I always thought, you hear that story over and over on air here at the Leader Spot. And I always thought, you know, someday I need to interview the people who did that, the risk takers, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, they're out there.
They are. There's a statistic that says, you know, for everyone that makes it, there's probably 100 or more that aren't making it, but that's the spirit of this country, and that's what brings, you know, entrepreneurs here and what makes them want to try their fortune, their hand at building a fortune, and we encourage risk takers in this economy, and that's what we need to continue to do.
Excellent. Now, how is the current economy, that's a tongue twister, affecting Customer Value Partners?
You know, it hasn't affected us this as of yet. It will. I'm confident, and we need to prepare for that, even if it doesn't happen. On our typical quarterly visits with our clients, I typically make sure that we're talking about future funding and budgets and how the economy is affecting our clients. And in some markets, yes, there has been tightening. There's fewer discretionary dollars to spend on new things, which means that a lot of our clients are really focusing on internal operations. How do they streamline? How do they get better? How do they reduce their costs while maintaining service? Which actually speaks to our brand of capability, because we can help our clients with that. You know, how do you optimize customer loyalty at the lowest cost of services? I'm an old operations research major for me, I think, in terms of equations to optimize. So the equation we optimize is, you know, improving loyalty at the lowest cost of service.
Excellent. We're speaking with the founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anirudh Kulkarni. Now, you have won a lot of awards. You were named to Smart CEO Future 50, the Deloitte 2008 Technology Fast 50. Is that something you anticipated? You were founded in 2002. Really got started in 2003. You've been getting these awards 2007, 2008.
Yeah, I think to me, awards are really they're a result of the things that we do as opposed to an objective that we try to achieve. It's always great to see. And I feel even more strongly that this is really more a victory for our associates than it is a victory for any personal victory. You can't do these things without both clients cooperating and your associates cooperating. So it's been nice to see that kind of validation. Yes, we last year, I think the award started in 2007. We our very first award, which is a very dear award for me, the Virginia Chamber of Commerce Award for fastest growing company in the business services segment. And that was truly great. My father was so excited that he decided to fly from India to come and attend the awards banquet. We had our entire management team at the awards banquet, and it was just truly a great experience. And we followed it up with, we've been on the Inc. 500. We've repeated on the Deloitte & Touche award list and the Smart CEO list. And we'll see. To me, again, it's an outcome. It's not an objective, but it is nice to see.
Now, is your father a businessman?
No. I'm actually, we don't come from a business entrepreneurship tradition. My father is a physician. And in fact, I was the black sheep in the family when I decided I would not be a pre-med major and instead decided to be an engineer. So, Dad told me when I finally got into GW as an undergrad in the engineering school, Dad said, I always knew you weren't going to be a pre-med student. Something about blood and dissections and lab work that I didn't really enjoy.
Both are risky. His is with lives and yours is with money initially.
I think he's got the tougher job. I don't know that I'd want to take risks with people's lives, but yes.
We're speaking with the founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anirudh Kulkarni. And you believe that organizations need the time to build a success rhythm. It's over a series of small strategic steps as part of embarking on large-scale improvement initiatives. Explain what this is, success rhythm.
Yeah. We wouldn't be a consulting firm if we didn't have some kind of brand of methodology. But this is something that's really important, Rebecca. I think, all too often consultants – We're very good at painting very large visions for our clients, and some of our clients actually love that stuff. And, when you're in a small room with, four or five senior executives and you're talking about, your big plans to take over the world, it all seems very eminently doable. But, try explaining those visions to, 50,000 employees that need to be a part of that execution. And I think that's when most visions start breaking down. It's because of poor execution. So many years ago, we realized that in order for organizations to transform, they need to be able to convince themselves internally that they're on a success path. And the way to do that is to really take that vision and chunk it down into very small bites, which increases the probability of success. And that's our job, is to help facilitate that process, to help them with that roadmap, and then to be there should they need us to really guide them on that process. And that's really what Success Rhythms is. It's really breaking things down into smaller pieces where an organization can feel like they've got a chance at success.
And your clients are a Fortune 500 company as well as a public sector.
Yeah. When we started the firm, and you'd think in Fairfax, Virginia, there's government contractors and everybody else. And we always felt that, we've got clients that span public and private sector industries. And frankly, all of them have issues around customer centricity, as we like to say it, customer orientation. And basically, we want to make sure that we're diversified in our business mix: media, telecom, health insurance, state, local, as well as public, as well as U.S. federal.
Because you never know what's going to happen with the economy or the government.
Yeah, who would have thunk it, right?
And what is it, 30-something state governments are struggling now?
They
right,
are.
That weren't before?
They are, and the tax revenues are down, and we have to be careful to navigate these waters.
So this is your own success rhythm for your business, right? You apply your formulas, I'm sure?
I think so. We're hoping. I wouldn't pretend to know all the answers, but we're trying.
Well, we're getting ready to head to a break here, but before we do that, I want to ask you, your areas of expertise include media, telecommunications, and financial services. And one thing that's interesting about all those is they're all going through, in my opinion, rapid change. So you've got to kind of keep up with very changing sectors and run a business.
That's exactly right. And, I like to say consultants are always students forever. We are always learning. And our clients teach us too. So, yeah, we do need to stay on top of these disruptive forces and figure out answers for our clients.
Well, appreciate speaking with you. We're going to continue our conversation after the break. We're speaking with the founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anirudh Kulkarni. And of course, as I said, he won the Smart CEO Future 50, the Deloitte 2008 Technology Fast 50. And when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about his leadership philosophy. How does he do it? He talked about being managing director for strategic services at AnswerThink, which was one of his first companies, and now he's doing Customer Value Partners. So when we get back, we're going to talk about his leadership philosophy, how he's done it over the years, as well as bring in the president and CEO of Versar, Dr. Theodore Prosiv. That's all back on the Leader Spot. When we return, he was the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Army. That's on the other side of this.
The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax Hotel near I-66 and 50 provides state-of-the-art guest rooms with complimentary high-speed internet access, a full-service restaurant, business meeting and banquet rooms for up to 300 guests with a professional staff that stays focused on the details so you don't have to, and full banquet catering. Call 703-385-7774 for guest rooms, meeting space, or special events at this award-winning hotel. That's 703-385-7774. The Hilton Garden Inn Fairfax.
We're back in the Leader Spot studio with the founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anirudh Kulkarni. Anirudh, I talked before the break about getting into your leadership philosophy. How do you approach running Customer Value Partners?
It certainly has been a great training experience for me. I thought I knew a lot about leadership, but you know, when you actually are faced with the actual situation of having to manage the payroll and take care of the livelihoods of, you know, over 120 folks, you know, you start thinking seriously about what your philosophy is. I've heard this, I've read this elsewhere, but I think that the model that really works for us and for me particularly is this model of servant leadership. It's sort of trying to keep your ego at a minimum and really focus on the well-being of, you know, certainly your clients, but also your associates. And I think if you're transparent and you're honest and you're open and accessible to your staff and to your associates, I think they start to warm up to you in ways that perhaps other methods don't really result in. So, you know, we have a very open environment. We're very open with the numbers. We're very open with our challenges. We're very open with our successes. And it's almost a bit of a family-based approach. I mean, it's clear, you know, who makes what decisions. You need a little bit of organization. But I think the concept of keeping egos in check, no prima donnas, team wins, you know, there's no, what do they say, there's no I in team, you know. Those are the kinds of things that make for a very successful environment, at least in our case.
So you would hire a team player in a sales force over a hot shot who can outperform by four times?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we like to go for athletes, you know, best athlete as opposed to a specific position. It makes for a more fungible workforce, if I can use that term, and it makes for a more collaborative work-life approach to our business, and I think it's paid off.
And you're doing lots of hiring. We were talking about 15% to 20% growth for you, yeah. And which is great. That's a Customer Value Partners. We're talking with Anirudh Kulkarni. Now, I want to get into something that you said. You actually said to me in the green room, which is that you've learned some leadership lessons over time. One of those was you had a business back in the day that wasn't, that you learned from because it didn't quite work.
Didn't quite work. Yeah. I mean, I suppose I didn't know it at the time, but I suppose the dominant gene in my makeup is really entrepreneurship. I've started, this is my third firm that I've started formally, and even in large corporates, I've really been always in the role of creating a new division or a new practice. But my very first one was something I started back in the mid 80s, and thought I was a hot shot, thought I knew how to solve, you know, world hunger and eradicate poverty, and started a firm. And very quickly, within 13 or 14 months, I had to shut it down because I really didn't know what I was doing. I had a great technical idea, but there's so much more to building a business than just having the vision for a technology or a capability. How do you attract people? How do you motivate them? How do you sell? How do you, you know?
How'd you learn that? How'd you learn to do that now?
and create a couple successes.
Yeah, I think the big learning there has been that you have to be flexible on your business plan, that you can't assume that the thing that you're starting off with is going to be the thing that sustains. And you have to be therefore flexible. You have to be somewhat opportunistic. You have to see where the market's giving you permission to sell and grow, and then you have to be able to retool and move into those directions. And I think most successful businesses, if you look at them today, probably their very first business plan bears no resemblance to where they ended up being successful. So I think flexibility and adaptability is probably the most important set of characteristics.
You were the managing director for strategic services at AnswerThink, a publicly held consulting and systems integration firm. And talk to me about this. This was the second fastest firm to go public?
We at the time when we went public in 98, we had been in business only 13 months, and that was our vision. We raised a ton of venture capital money. We had a vision of going public and growing and building a big firm. And at the time, as you said, we were the second fastest to go public after Netscape at the time. Of course, it was followed by every other company going public very soon after. That was a different experience, Rebecca. That was a publicly held approach, consulting firm, making the quarter, trying to make sure that you can accelerate, accelerate growth and make your numbers. A lot of pressure. It was fun. It was great. It was exhilarating, but it was a different kind of experience. And I think we're bringing some of those experiences to this firm at Customer Value Partners, but in the guise or in the role of a privately held, self-financed, privately funded firm.
Excellent. Well, we want to wish you best of luck with what you're doing, your new offices in Fairfax and employee growth, and keep getting those awards.
Thank you very much, Rebecca.
Appreciate it. We're speaking with founder and managing principal of Customer Value Partners, Anna Rood Kulkarni, here with us in the Leader Spot studio. And congrats on the Smart CEO Future 50 he received and Deloitte 2008 Technology Fast 50. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. The Leader Spot is supported by businesses actively serving the leadership community of Washington, D.C. I want to thank some of the businesses who've invested in leadership here on the Leader Spot. Market Point Dennis Cole Architects, hotel sponsor Hilton Garden Inn of Fairfax, Virginia, providing all your business meeting room needs. If you're a business interested in communicating your brand directly to the business community, please consider sponsorship of the Leader Spot.